found this in Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's
sick performance.
Thanks, folks, for coming out to the 100th episode of Synthaholics. Special show for you Trekkies. We have tonight Captain Kirk's stunt double, Aaron O'Brien, performing live his comedy bit. But first, our top five Star Trek jokes. Number one. How do you get a one-armed Klingon out of a tree? Wave to him. What is Riker's dating philosophy? If at first you don't succeed, try Troy again. What happened when Yeoman Rand complained that someone had cut a peephole in her cabin door? Captain Kirk promised to look into it. What did Worf say when small ice asteroids began hitting the Enterprise hull? Kirk, we're being hailed. Why is Kirk a better captain than Picard? One word. Hair. Kirk never drinks tea. Kirk once fought a Greek god and won. Kirk traveled through the Great Barrier, met God, and wasn't even impressed. Plus, Kirk's bridge is not beige. Thanks, folks. That's it for tonight. Enjoy your 100th episode of Synthaholics. This was brought to you by CreativeZenith.com.
And thank you for that great introduction, Will.
Yeah, Will Rodriguez. He is a fellow artist here in Buffalo, New York, and he's released a comic called The Supernal Event, and he's got the first issue out. He's almost ready to release the second issue. Super talented, awesome guy. Awesome guy. He gives me advice on my art all the time, lets me know when I'm doing good and when I'm screwing up. So he's a great guy, and I couldn't believe you actually put that together for us. So thank you so much, Will. That's really nice of you.
Yeah, it's extremely creative.
Yeah,
it's really great. And apparently You have a stand-up bit for us tonight, Aaron.
I do. Prepared to be disappointed.
The stunt double.
That's what I say all women before we go to bed. Prepared to be disappointed.
And your Zap Brannigan voice.
My Zap Brannigan voice. Anytime I talk to a lady at the bar, I use my Zap Brannigan voice.
Well, it's me, David Duncan, with Aaron O'Brien and Guy Davis tonight.
Hey, happy 100 episode!
Yes, 100 episodes. I haven't been here for all of those.
No, you haven't, but you've been...
But you guys have.
Yeah, but you've been here for quite a lot along the ride. At least halfway.
It's been an interesting ride, I have to admit.
Well, last January, I think, was your first episode when you talked about your comic.
Yeah, I think it's been a year.
Yes, it's true. Yeah, you've been part of the show for a year now.
And guys, like, why did you pick me up on this ride? And when are you going to let me off?
It's like he came on.
Where's the stop?
He agreed to come on once as a guest, and we keep dragging him back in.
Well,
but it's been an awesome dragging back in, though. I mean, you got to admit.
If you don't know the backstory, and I don't know the exact episode, Guy, actually, when I came on the our show, but I was a longtime fan of the USS Tamberlin that he's been doing. I've been following it for a long time. And when we started the podcast, you know, we were just talking about guests who we get on. I said, well, I've been reading this webcomic for a long time. I don't know if the guy would be interested. But apparently I lured him in with candy and
your serial killer van
and my serial killer van. So
you still haven't gotten like the rapist like trench coat thing yet.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, it's new.
I got to beat up somebody for that. So it's hard on the streets of
like the streaker jacket. It's like
yeah.
You flash people. You've been talking about running into the woods naked as far as Patreon goes. So.
Well, anyways, welcome to Synthaholics 100 episode. If you haven't already noticed, we have reached the 100 mark, and it has been an exciting ride. It's been a lot of fun. We've met a lot of great people and just interesting stories, and I don't know, man. I mean, think about it. Everyone we've talked to.
Yeah, Carl Miller twice.
Twice.
We had Vic Mignogna. We had Michelle Specht.
Yeah.
Kipley Brown and James Kerwin.
Yeah, we had...
they were a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had Bonnie Moss.
Bonnie Moss. Larry Nemechek a couple times.
Yeah, he graciously came on our show. We had a good old Chekhov.
Yeah, Walter Koenig back like, oh, it was like our like seventh episode.
Sixth or seventh episode we had him on there. So
with Todd Chante from the...
Yeah, when they were trying to do the Captain Pike
I don't know if that's still around anymore. I heard almost nothing about it in quite a while.
I think the Axanar thing buried a lot of people's dreams, so...
Yes.
Yeah.
Buried the fan film dreams.
Too. But, yeah, so 100 episode. We're still alive. We're still kicking. As we said before, I think an episode or two ago that... You know, nobody can cancel us because we're just a bunch of geeks that...
I think it was the last episode that we're just going to, like, we can't be canceled. Only our souls can be trotted on until we...
Yeah, and our souls won't be crushed because nobody understands that we're geeks and our souls were crushed a long time ago. So we just keep going.
I mentioned the wedgies and saving Cheerios for...
Yeah, poor guy eating all the Cheerios for his stickers.
Yeah, even if you're not... Traumatized. Yeah, even if you're not on the episode with us, we probably reference you at least once.
Yeah. I mean, that Cheerio story was golden.
I still laugh every time I hear it.
Yeah, so here we are, still kicking. Here's to the next 100 episode. Cheers.
Click.
Clearest guy.
Cheers.
Cheers. You're miles away.
We tried to...
I'm like... 1,500 miles away, but that's all right.
Mental cheers.
The mental cheers.
So over the last couple of weeks, we've been asking people to submit emails or voice messages to kind of let the listeners be heard tonight for the 100th episode so they can, you know, say what they wanted to say about Star Trek and join the conversation.
Yeah, or even just make fun of us.
Yeah, or that too, which is totally acceptable because we're all about having fun here.
Yeah, we asked for 100. I think we fell a little short of that. But
just a wee bit.
Just a wee bit short. But we did get some responses, and it was very nice, and we do appreciate. And we're going to be playing some of the responses, reading some emails, and just talking about our love of Star Trek and our love of our fans and listeners.
Yeah.
So good stuff.
But first, you know, as we are always breaking new Star Trek weeks late because of just the way podcast recording schedules work. You know, by the time you heard the news in the last episode, there was new news, such as they just released a like behind the scenes like trailer sort of for Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah,
which looks kind of interesting. I mean, it's real short. Most of it's like a bunch of. Photographs and, you know, saying Gene Roddenberry wrote Star Trek is ...
Yeah.
That to me makes me feel like they're going to totally change what Star Trek is. Like, because they're kind of
really?
To me, I kind of feel like it because they're like, because he wrote Star Trek is ... And they made a note of saying that, and then they're going to say, we're starting that again with Star Trek Discovery. So, like, to me, the way I'm reading into it is that I feel like they're going to take lots of liberties on what Star Trek is with the new series. Because why would they go with that Star Trek is ... type
I don't know. Maybe
mentality?
Make us all realize that they were going back to the original. I don't know. When I saw that, I thought, wow, you know, we're trying to – hold on to our roots here. I don't know.
There goes guy trying to be positive.
I'm trying to be positive. I'm holding on to the Roddenberry belief.
I don't know. I just think that going forward, I think the new series is going to be a soft reboot at the very least, if not like a more in-depth reboot. Then it's going to be at least a visual reboot of the entire series if they're starting back in Kirk's era.
Right. Well, we got the...
Or 10 years prior to Kirk.
We got the announcement that Emily Coutts, I think that's how you say it. Coutts or Coutts? I'm not quite sure how it is because it's Outs with a C on it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Coutts.
Coutts.
Or maybe it's Coutts. I don't know. So she is going to be helmsman. She played in Crimson Peak. She was Eunice. If you didn't see Crimson Peak, it did take place partly in Buffalo.
In Buffalo. I couldn't believe that.
Which was pretty awesome that we got a little shout out by...
In a Hollywood movie in our town that's pretty much barren now.
Yeah, yeah.
There used to be lots of factories here. Now they're...
It used to be a pretty... We used to be a big deal at one point.
Yeah.
At one point.
I don't know. I say to people, I'm on a podcast at a Buffalo. Oh, really? That's cool. So at least people know you still exist.
Yeah, no, they do. Well, it's an unusual name too. Buffalo, named after a big hairy animal.
Big hairy animal. Yeah.
There was no buffaloes in this area.
No, there's lots of buffaloes. They're just all like styrofoam.
Plastic. Yeah. No, but that was
a resin.
Lots of styrofoam buffalo.
There were no buffaloes
all over the place.
So the origin of buffalo is supposedly that when people came to the river. In the Niagara River, and they saw it. The French that discovered this area first, it was named for a river called Bew, as in beautiful flow, Bew flow.
And
it got slowly just changed to Buffalo.
It doesn't look that beautiful now, unfortunately.
No.
Not so much Bew of the flow. Gotcha.
But anyways, Emily Kautz.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone.
I'm
was
going
really
with Kautz. I'm okay
Kautz.
With that.
Kautz, yeah.
I mean, I can't remember which character she was in Crimson Peak. Was she the sister?
Yeah, Eunice. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she was a pretty good actress.
Yeah, she was good. And
I can't think of anything else she's been in, but I'm like,
she's got a couple things under her belt, but it's nothing nothing huge. Obviously, Crimson Peak was the biggest one that she was in, at least the one that
Star
I
Trek,
saw.
It'll definitely be Star Trek now.
Yeah. As far as we're concerned, yes.
Absolutely.
And hopefully the show will go on many seasons, and it'll be her biggest thing she's known for. That'd be cool.
Yeah, so, for us. So cool. We're getting more stories out of the Discovery camp. Hopefully we'll get more information as time goes on.
They showed some armor in that little trailer that looked like, I guess it's Klingon armor.
It looked like Klingon armor.
It looked like scary. Like, I like it way better than the JJ Klingon armor.
It looked pretty brutal. It was cool.
JJ was okay, but yeah.
It just looks like they were wearing just big flat pieces of leather. It didn't look scary at all.
Yeah.
I was just like, that's...
Well, so did the Christopher Lloyd reboot of the Klingons. They were, it was cool looking, but it was just leather.
Yeah, but the Christopher, he had the back ridges were like, it looked like it was metal put together. And sure, it was leather, but it's supposed to look like metal, I don't know, I thought it looked cool.
Yeah, right.
Not so much with the JJ, I love the movies he did were fine, I just didn't like the way the Klingons were redone as far as their clothing went, and their stupid helmets. Hopefully they won't have stupid helmets.
Yeah, the full face helmets.
Yeah, I'm like, that's stupid.
It was cheating.
That's very cheating.
They didn't want to do prosthetics.
Right.
I heard they did do prosthetics. They had to wear prosthetics and that thing. I'm like, what's the point of wearing the prosthetics?
Well, what's the point of that?
If they're being covered.
Yeah, right. Well, it's like put the guys in the back. They don't need to do any prosthetics.
But they were all wearing the helmets, too.
Yeah.
So dumb. But it's exciting. And that behind-the-scenes thing was really cool. They showed some of the sets and the sets being built.
Yeah. It's going to be
fun. They had the close-up of the uniform and the...
I hope
the Delta Shield with the line running through it.
Gotta admit, I like that new uniform. Just what I've seen with the gold.
It's
and
so
the,
crisp.
And the navy blue and the gold.
So, Guy, do you think they're going to have the color divisions? So, you think they're going to have the blue, the.
Doesn't look like
the,
it.
The red?
No, because that's the shield had an engineering bar on it, and it was a blue uniform.
Yeah.
So, okay. I think they're going to be trying to go for the Enterprise Connect. They're trying to make it look like Enterprise. So, it's a connection between Enterprise.
I guess, but it's like they're getting so close to Kirk's era. I don't know why they're sticking with Enterprise-ish looking uniforms.
And if you think back to Helmsworth when he was Kirk's dad, they were all kind of the same color.
They had that blue,
yeah. Yeah, they had the same color. And I don't know if that was probably, 20-some years before Kirk?
Yeah.
So, I don't know the exact, but I'm assuming it's got to be 20-some years.
And it could be anything. If it's 10 years before Kirk's era, then theoretically that's 5 years after the Cage.
Yeah.
So we could be just dealing with different uniforms. It's not like if you were to look at our current military, they've got six different uniforms that they wear.
They change so slightly every couple of years, too.
And the
I could see that being a especially since, I mean, one of my best friend is a major in the Army, and the number of times that they just reinvent the entire stupid battle dress uniform that he has to wear.
Yeah, right.
And he has to, like, change out everything and all of his patches and everything and all of his rank and, you know, everything has to be swapped out. So actually, I totally think that that could be a, we've decided to retro back to Enterprise for this year, and then next year we're going, no, we didn't like that. No. You know what we're going to do?
All the different colors.
Yeah, we're going to do color.
But it could be. I mean, there's been discussion whether or not the Discovery, because the original teaser trailer showed it like hidden away in some asteroid, like maybe they're Section 31 or like some other branch off of Starfleet.
Who knows?
Right. Maybe that's why their uniforms are different. You know, there's, we still don't know anything, you know, concrete about it. And maybe the other ship that Michelle Yeoh, since she's the captain of the other ship that's supposed to be in the show, maybe they'll have more traditional uniforms than the people on the Discovery. Who knows?
Maybe they're like the Batman and Batcave of Star Trek.
The Batman.
So they have
Batcave of Star Trek.
Yeah.
To the Batcave, asteroid.
Right. Well, should we do another?
Do you have like a tweet or something? Let's do a tweet.
All right. Let's do a tweet.
It's a tweet.
I'll read a tweet.
It's 140 characters.
Guy, I got one of the first response I got from a tweet from here was. Actually, a gentleman, let's see what's here. Da, 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 da. His name is Ticking Cancer Bomb.
Well, that just is not good.
I don't know if he had cancer. If you do, I am sorry. But it said, back in the day, I ran a Star Trek RPG with 18 people, about 20 hours. And people had to jump over the table to hug each other when they won. And I asked him if it was the FASA RPG. And he said it was the mid-80s, and I believe so. He said the Federation players had the Yorktown from Star Trek Next Generation, since I refused to let them have two Enterprises. So it says I guess he lives in the Denver area. Are you in Denver or are you in Boulder?
I'm in Denver.
Yeah.
So he might be close.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so I used to play the FASA. I know, Dave, Guy, that you still play that once in a while, don't you?
Yeah, actually, there's a group here that meets with and that plays the old FASA system. In fact, there's a convention coming up in 2 weeks, Genghis Khan.
Awesome.
Which is where we're all going to get together in one of the rooms. It's a role-playing game I guess it's just kind of an all-gaming convention. But yeah. Yeah, I never participated in a 20-person game.
Well, it was obviously just the Starfleet battle side of it. Which actually was the strongest part of the FASA thing. I always thought the character part of the game was a little weak. Did you feel the same way as that?
Well, we're currently playing the character side of it. And I guess, you know, my feeling on RPGs in general is that in the 80s, we were still kind of sussing it out. We still had D&D, echoes of D&D. So people had to think, gosh, it's not complicated enough without THACO, so let's put this in. And, you know, it's all math. And then it wasn't until, 2000 or something like that when the role-playing game people were like, you know what, do we have to be all math-heavy?
I know. Well,
so I think playing anything from those eras is still kind of,
One of my, the heaviest one was the early 90s was Shadowrun. The rules, I love the game, but the rules just seemed so dense, it was hard for me to get through.
And then it was like, how many dice do we have to roll on this one?
That's just like D3.5 for Dungeons & Dragons 3.5. I mean, Pathfinder? There's so many rules. Well, Pathfinder was technically 3.75, but there's just so many rules, like, and checks and everything.
Shadowrun with like 70 zillion dice.
Yeah.
And then ICE, Iron Crown, which had you know, all of the, you know, the Middle Earth role playing and stuff like that, and they had tables after tables after tables after tables.
right. And it was
D10s as far as the eye can see.
And going back also, the original, I don't know if it's the original, but the Star Wars RPG by West, was it West End Games or
West End Games? Yeah.
Yeah. It was all D6 and it was a little more manageable, but it was a little boring as well. Because, I mean, the game mechanics was a little boring.
Yeah.
It didn't have...
That's why I was always a fan of the D20 system, because it had all the dice in it.
Yeah.
Like, the D10 system, you only use D10s. I'm just like, oh, come on, that's boring.
I don't mind just, like, one type of dice, but it does get a little bit like, it could be a little more fun throwing some extra dice in there, but the heavy rules. But, yeah, so the FASA Star Trek, from what I recall, and this is... like 80s going into early 90s, this one I played, was the character side of it was a little bit like 100 dies and stuff like that. It was all 100 percentile rate, and it was a little like there just wasn't a lot developed other than just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was.
It really was pretty reliant on characters to pull it through.
Yeah. And then, but the Starfleet battles was amazing because FASA was amazing because they did battle tech. And they did a whole bunch of other stuff, so...
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, Star Trek, the FASA game, awesome. I know there was another Starfleet battle game that came before that, but I don't know who made that. Do you know who made that, Guy?
Amarillo Design Bureau.
Okay.
Which did Starfleet Battles, which used to be called Task Force Games, but now they're called Amarillo Design Bureau. And they're still around.
Did they reissue that?
Yeah, I mean, they've evolved. They made a... SFB it's still out there, but they made a lighter version of it called Federation Commander, which is actually easier to play.
Okay.
You know, because SFB was brutal. I mean, it was a lot of rules. It was great. It was one of my favorites. But it was a brutal, brutal game to play. I mean, you had books and dice, and it was horrible. Well, it wasn't horrible. I guess I overstated.
It was intense, is what you're trying to say.
Intense. And I like FedCom better. It's a much lighter game. Right. But you can't do things like board with Marines and, you know, take over ships and stuff like that like you can do with Starfleet Battles. So.
Gotcha.
It's not
gotcha.
Quite as good.
Nice, so. Nice. Awesome.
Let's go ahead and do the next clip.
Hey, Synthaholics Podcast. Congratulations on your 100th episode. This is Carla, and I have to just say that I have several favorite moments from the podcasts, and one of them would be the one which was episode 77, "O Shuttlecraft, Where Art Thou?" I thought that was great, and I thought it was so indicative of the spirit of Star Trek in general in the fandom. It's just been an amazing juggernaut going into its almost 51st year. It inspired my cousin, who was the very first Trekkie I ever met. It inspired my friends when we were kids to ask their grandpa to build them a console to replicate the bridge, and he did. And we got to play Star Trek. How awesome was that? And as a girl, I didn't get relegated to just girl things because these boys understood that Uhura and Nurse Chapel had some serious clout. Anyway, congratulations, guys, and I can't wait for the next 100 more episodes. Cheers.
Well, thank you so much, Carla, for sending that in. That was a lot of fun. And that one of your favorite moments in Star Trek for our Star Wars podcast goes Shuttlecraft for Art There. That's all Guy.
That's Guy's. I wasn't even on that episode.
Yeah, and I was on that episode, but like I was like, I'm like, what do I need to do? And he's like, I've got the notes.
I've been tracking that shuttlecraft forever.
Guy just like said to Dave, "Shut your pie hole, and I'll just talk it."
It was great because you winged it for like 30 minutes, and I lost like half the episode because of recording issues. And then you found your notes, and then you're able to go back to it with accurate notes. So it all worked out, even though I lost like 10 minutes of it.
It works out, but you just don't know. This is a side of things that a lot of people don't know, the podcast, that Dave puts in a lot of work that you wouldn't even know he does.
Yeah.
Because he makes it seem like it's like, I just showed up and we just recorded this. No, Dave edits things. He makes sure it sounds good. He makes sure that you actually hear it correctly. I mean, he's done so much homework and everything. So a lot of props to Dave as well. But yeah, that episode, Oh Shuttercraft, Where Art Thou?
It was fantastic, and it was all Guy.
All the knowledge of Guy.
He brought his notebook and a great topic. It was super interesting. I was just like enthralled. I loved it.
It was great. And all the wacky
background. I was just like, yeah, that's cool.
He was like, what do you want to do a show on? And I was like, I was just looking through all my notes and I found all the notes on the Galileo. Do you know where the Galileo's been? And he was like, no. Let me tell you. He's all excited. I didn't mean to take the entire show over.
No, it was fantastic.
It was a great episode.
I'm so glad you took that and ran with it. It was amazing. I'm glad I could be there and just sitting in awe. I'm like, that's awesome. I hope I contributed something to the episode.
That's pretty much the episode. The whole episode is, that's awesome. Oh, my God. Really?
Well, I was the audience. I was the protagonist in that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it was an interesting episode. What I loved about what Carla was saying was that she managed to get her grandfather to build a bridge set. That was awesome.
That's awesome, cool. too. Yeah. Yeah.
That is very awesome. Hey, Carla, if you have pictures of this bridge set, they need to be sent to us.
Send it to us.
Yeah, especially if you have one that, like, you guys are all dressed up in uniforms as kids, it'd be hilarious.
Edo uniform.
What is it?
The Edo uniform. No, I'm sorry.
Well, I don't think they dress like that. There's some games they weren't...
I don't know how to play those games.
I don't know how to play that game.
The stick about yay big.
And this long? Yeah, Carla, thank you so much. For listening and
she was our fellow coworker back in the day.
Yeah, she was. She had very nice that you actually chimed in.
And she listens to us. Thank you.
I know. What's wrong with you? Why would you keep listening? No, just joking. I don't know.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was great. It's awesome that
getting to play Star Trek as a kid. Like it's something I haven't talked about on the show before. As far as like you know playing Star Trek goes, I don't think I've talked about it anyway. When I was a kid, there's another kid in my school who also liked Star Trek, and like we lived close enough to each other where we were able to hang out sometimes on the weekends. And like
he played Kirk, you played Yeoman Rand.
Yes, yeah, it was very kinky. No, we had those on the shoulder video cameras, and like we tried to make like Star Trek movies.
Oh, really?
And all the special effects were basically done with toys and cardboard boxes. So like if we had an engineering disaster, we'd put the characters in the cardboard box.
Right.
And we'd shake the cardboard box.
That's awesome.
I had a model of the Enterprise that lit up and had lights and sounds and stuff like that. So we did that for the intro. It was, I had fun playing Star Trek when I was a kid.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was a little bit different as a kid. I had, we had all the Star Wars action figures back in the day. And so we would kind of me and my friend would make our own like stories. But it would be a space opera, but it had nothing to do with Star Wars. But I based my whole crew after like a Star Trek crew.
Oh, yeah.
Like I had
awesome.
I had a bridge that was like Star Trek, and in my mind, everything was just like Star Trek.
The most perfect thing ever. Star Wars being Star Trek. That would be really cool. Like,
he's absconded with Star Wars to turn it into Star Trek.
Well, because
you should totally do a Star Wars story. That's like a bridge crew, but like make it like Star Trek, but with Star Wars type characters. That would be really cool to do. Like a totally off the wall spinoff has nothing to do with any of the movies. But a Star Trek style Star Wars movie.
Well, there was at the time too. As a kid, there was the what are they called? The action, not the act. They're like the dolls, but the action figures. They had the Star Trek ones. They had Kirk and Spock. I had Kirk and Spock.
But they're like the size of Barbie dolls.
Yeah,
yeah, the big ones. Yeah.
What are they called, Guy? What are those? Those are like they did the superheroes as well. They had
like the G.I. Joe scale. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about?
11-inch dolls instead of the little 6-inch action figures.
Right. And there was even a bridge. They had a whole bridge, but it was like so.
Oh, you're talking about the Mego?
Yeah, Amigo. Thank you. Yeah,
the Mego. Yeah.
Yeah, I just had Kirk and Spock, but I remember the bridge and I wanted it, but looking back at it. Because I've looked it up since like
it's so bad looking.
It's terrible.
It looks awful.
Oh, it's horrible.
It like folds out.
Yeah, yeah. It's totally dumb. And somebody stole my Kirk and Spock figures. I don't know where they went. I used to play with them all the time, and then one day they just disappeared.
On the playground, did a bully steal them?
No, I was at my grandmother's house. Maybe my grandmother stole them.
Grandma, she's like, these things aren't. These are worth.
Yeah, maybe she did. Grandma stole my Kirk and Spock
dolls.
Yeah.
Or maybe her Barbies were feeling lonely. They needed to get a little logical.
Ooh. Guy, did you have any, like, try to play Star Trek or anything similar to that as a young kid?
Well,
besides your Cheerios story, we know that one.
Yeah, no, actually, I had the Franz Joseph Technical Manual when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And in fourth grade, my best friend Mike and I, we would trace all of the phasers and the communicators out of the book and then cut them out of cardboard.
Such a guy thing to do.
I know. And then we would make them all, you know, we'd layer them and everything like that. And ultimately, that got us, like, beat up by the bullies, but before that happened...
During the crafting...
It was awesome.
During the crafting phase or after the crafting phase?
After the crafting
phase. When they were running out of the playgrounds with their phasers.
Their glue and paper phasers. So awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I had found that, like, the baseball shirts that they were selling at the time, they had, like, blue sleeves and they were white shirts, and then there was red sleeves and white shirts.
Yes!
Yeah.
And they were, like, weird enough. And I was like, I convinced my mom to buy, like, two or three of them.
Did you buy red shirts?
And so she did. And we would go around in these, you know, pretend like we had different uniforms. Sciences and, you know, and stuff like that. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, we just wore only clothes when we were making the videos. We looked terrible.
Oh, it was horrible. And then we'd stick little logos. We'd make them out of masking tape. We'd take the Delta Shield out of the masking tape and stick it on there, and they would stay on for, like, you know, an hour.
Yeah.
I do remember us also recording. We took the Star Trek One novel, and we re-recorded all of the captain's logs out of it. But we changed the names to our ships.
Wow.
Whatever our ship was, I can't remember what our ship was. And we recorded on our tape deck, so we could play it back later.
That's awesome.
It was really fun.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
We did all kinds of weird stuff. But I did have. There was one time there was 6-inch. Star Trek characters too. You know, you were talking about.
Yes, yes, there was.
And I had. I mean, this is in the
this motion picture.
It was from Star Trek II. So they were monster runes.
Huh. Yeah. Oh yeah, remember Bob Yetto got us you got the Kirk one. He got me the Khan one.
Yeah, no,
those are 7-inch though.
Yeah, no, those are taller. But
G.I. Joe, the little G.I. Joe I know, guys, not the big G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
The little
I remember from motion picture they had the white and gray uniforms, but I don't remember from the Wrath of Khan series. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I swear I've still got a couple of them, so I'll show them to you at some point in time.
That's awesome.
I promise you I'll find them.
My Star Trek toys were the Next Generation action figures, and I remember begging my mom to take me to Walmart. I had gotten, like, Christmas money or something. I was, like, begging her to take me to Walmart so I could buy a tricorder. That tricorder toy. I was like, I just want the tricorder. It's so cool.
Those were cool.
Makes noises.
Did it?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was battery operated.
Yeah. So I had the Amigo figures. That's the only thing I had besides the Star Wars action figures. And they disappeared. So.
Yeah.
Grandma.
Good times. Let's see. I've got an email.
Grandma's got them all still right now, and she's like, "Let's see what they're on eBay."
Grandma ran off with my Amigo figures.
That's a great song. They should play that during Christmas time.
So yeah, she's like sitting there going, "Well, he doesn't remember this." She listens to the podcast.
Crap!
Oh, damn it!
No.
I have to wait longer.
I should wait a little longer.
Well, we actually got this email before we started asking people about the 100th episode, but this was for the Synthaholics voice, which, you know, just as a reminder, for season 3, which starts end of March, beginning of April.
Soon,
yes. I'm gonna be starting to record some of the intros and make it sound just a little bit different, with the Synthaholics guy voice sounding like the Borg instead of like my voice by itself modulated. So he wrote to us, "Hey guys, I just wanted to say thanks for all the entertainment you guys have provided. The podcast has helped cheer me up in the darkest of days. So thanks, guys. I look forward to listening to many more years."
Oh, that's nice.
From Timothy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really appreciate it. And then I know you emailed me again, Timothy. I didn't get back to you yet. You were asking if I didn't get your email. We did. We just recorded 2 episodes in 1 day, and I hadn't gotten the email at that point. So just the way podcast production works. That's why
we're kind of all over the place sometimes.
Yeah, timelines don't always work out.
I do appreciate it's one thing I always, and I mean, Guy, maybe you could relate to this, is that when you're creating any type of piece of work or art, podcast, just that you know that maybe that you affected somebody in a positive manner, it's such a nice feeling. You know, it's like you don't know when you're doing it if anybody is going to do anything for anybody. Yeah. You know, like if everyone be like, ah, fuck those guys.
You know, they're not funny. They're full of themselves.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
But but it's really awesome to hear, you know, that, you know, we've helped cheer somebody up if they had, you know, a rough time. That's hugely inspirational.
Well, just like Guy's USS Tamberlin webcomic. I was reading it and I was like, man, this is awesome. This is really cool. This is totally different, you know, because he was kind of fusing Star Trek with, you know, anime and the manga style. And I was like, oh, this is great. You know, it's totally different. And I just enjoyed the whole thing. So obviously you impacted me, Guy. And obviously I didn't ever reach out to you until far along the line. So
that's all right. You ended up, you know, the cookies were cool and the candy. So that worked. And here I am.
Taped up, duct taped in the back of my van.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a scary van, guys. A little bit. I got to go pee somewhere along the line. Yeah. But, you know, I'm okay for right now.
The catheters are for.
I gave you your bucket. But, no, I it's awesome that somebody could listen to our podcast and you know, we positively give them maybe a little sunshine at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
at least a smile or two of the crazy things that we say.
Yeah. I mean, we try to be funny. I know some people think we're inappropriate, but we don't give a fuck. And we're just having fun. You know, that's
having
all
fun. That's what we're here for. I mean, if we're not having fun, I don't think people are going to enjoy listening to it.
Well, that's the other thing is like the other side of it is I always say, if it's not fun, then why are you doing it?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, come on. If the end of the day, after the product's finished, if you don't go like, oh, that was pretty cool, you know, then like, why are you doing it? If it's just like, eh, who cares? So we like to do it. We're having fun. We have a couple of laughs at our own expense, at the show's expense.
But it's all done in love.
Yeah, we don't, I mean, we're obviously, if you hear us, we don't hate anything or anybody. Not usually.
No.
Not usually.
That's another style.
Not usually, at least.
Not usually. Shades of Grey.
Well, there's a couple episodes. We just did Threshold, so.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I got to admit, I'm kind of glad I dodged the Threshold.
Dodged the Threshold? That was your game night, so lucky you. Yeah.
I know.
I know, absolutely. It you know, it's funny, when we did watch it, there was a point in that episode that it wasn't too bad of an episode.
Like two-thirds the way through, it's not awful. And then that last third, it's just like where everything just like crumbles to
You're
dust.
Just like, what just is like, going what? On? Yeah, so anyways. But thank you very much. His name was Timothy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much, Timothy. It's very nice of you for saying
that. Yeah.
Really appreciate it, and we'll be using your voice in Synthaholics for season 3, so that'll be
fantastic. You'll be assimilated as a Borg.
Yes.
Just like everybody else, you'll be assimilated.
Get ready.
It's coming.
Should we do another audio clip?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do another audio clip.
This is Mark Duncan, proud father of David Duncan, the founder of Synthaholics Podcast. In the summer of 1966, I just turned 10 years old. I began to notice commercials on television for a new science fiction space adventure series. It was called Star Trek. My mind was captivated by it from the beginning. It advertised itself as the first adult space adventure. And even though I was far from being an adult, a mature approach to a television show about space greatly appealed to me. I was also struck by the fact that the Enterprise looked far different than any other spaceship I'd ever seen. Gone were the tail fins and the flames propelling the vessel through space. The Enterprise was strange, wonderful, and exciting. The very first episode, The Man Trap, was fascinating. I was both freaked out and enthralled by the salt vampire. I've always been interested in science. In fact, I am a science teacher, and thus I was fascinated by phasers as opposed to lasers, photon torpedoes, warp speed, and the transporter. I was totally addicted to Star Trek from the beginning. Truly excellent art will stand the test of time. People will be admiring the paintings of Leonardo and the music of Mozart 1,000 years from now. Star Trek, likewise, stands the test of time. 50 years later, I remain captivated by the original uncut Trek episodes being broadcast on BBC America. I continue to be impressed by the fine acting and the timeless stories that explore the complexity of the human condition. I'll be a Star Trek fan until the day I die. The Lord has given me 7 children, and I'm proud to say that I passed on the legacy of a love of Star Trek to at least a few of them. I have fond memories of watching the various incarnations of Star Trek with my young sons, especially my firstborn David, whose love of Star Trek is borne out in this creation of Synthaholics.
Well, thank you so much, Dad, for sending that in and all the wonderful kind words.
Yeah, when he first started, I thought that he was going to actually give himself the mantle of founder of Synthaholics, since he basically is the you are the product,
the progenitor.
You are the product,
the progenitor, the creator
of Mr. Duncan. So
he's the creator.
So I guess you are the
the David unit.
The young David unit. Yes. It's awesome. You know, it's cool, too, because to get somebody's perspective of when the original series first came out, I obviously am a little too young for that, so I didn't know when that came out. I mean, I was not an – I saw the reruns when it came out.
Yeah.
But to see somebody like just to watch the opening,
who was there?
Yeah, the commercials and everything when they
being
first started.
Excited for it to come out. It was just like Bonnie Moss.
Yeah, and be like, what is this? You know, this is totally different. You know, like you said, and it is. You look at the Enterprise, like, what a wacky looking ship.
Because everything before that, like Flash Gordon and stuff like that, it was just like a rocket ship.
They looked
with
like
fins,
rocket
and
ships.
It was just, it was just like so antiquated.
And it had like smoke coming out that always went up.
Right,
and
right.
Lights and sparks and
right. And don't get me wrong,
ridiculous.
I loved Flash Gordon and all that stuff. I used to read the comics, and then obviously the '80s movie came out, which was a lot of fun. Soundtrack done by Queen. Flash, he saved every one of us. Must have been a fascinating time to just be like, wow, this is so different.
Like seeing it come out, yeah. Well, hopefully, for young kids, kids that are growing up now, when a real Star Trek Discovery preview comes out, hopefully that'll inspire young kids, 7, 8, 9, 10, to want to watch this. I hope it does.
Right.
Well, in like
it'll light the flame.
Yeah, and we did a show recently at Trek Noobs where we had Josiah from the Geekiverse, and he was on, and we had him watch the Galileo 7, and it was great because he got to see it. I mean, he's seen the JJ reboots, but he's never seen.
He was totally fresh to like watching Star Trek episodes, like all the way through. Like he had seen probably bits and pieces here and there,
and
he never gave it his attention.
And he loved it. He was like, wow, this is great, to see like the original cast and them in their glory. And he was like, they're so young and they're so vibrant and like the acting's good. And, he took it with the caveats of, the sets look a little corny and stuff like that, but,
sure.
But, he knew that it was in the time of its, when it was.
He totally agreed that, it's totally timeless, just like my dad was saying, for it's going to stand the test of time.
Yeah.
Well, and that's an interesting thing. My wife watched original series stuff, and she really hadn't watched. I mean, like you were saying earlier, she'd seen some bits and pieces, but she had seen the originals, and of course, she saw the remastered. I had her sit down and watch some of the remastered ones. She's like, "Oh, it's so much better with the remastered because the original ones were so grainy and everything like that. And when they remastered them, they were rich and vibrant, and the colors are bright. And then they changed out." Probably the weakest part was the special effects.
Yes,
the external,
and so they
the
swapped shot, them out. Yeah. And now I'm still amazed at just how much the original series can hold up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't watch Lost in Space.
No, I mean, you can.
We were watching episodes of Chips the other day and going, "Oh boy,
yeah."
I mean, Knight Rider is a mess.
Oh.
And I remember loving Knight Rider when it first came out.
Absolutely.
It's just like it's amazing how little things do hold up. They don't. But Star Trek really does.
Yeah.
And even the animated series, which I know we've had like our disagreements on. But the animated series, the animation's really, really, really weak because it's Filmation and they were running so fast. But the truth of the matter is the stories are still really solid in a lot of those.
Oh, we got to have Guy on next time we do an animated series. We haven't done one with Guy yet.
No. Yeah.
No, and I'm the one with a degree in animation.
And we're all dunces.
Not only that, I worked on the Farragut episodes where they duplicated that.
Yeah, check that out, guys. If you're interested in the animated series and haven't seen the Farragut animated one, check it out. Our own G.S. Davis.
He's got his hands in many different projects.
I really do. You'd think somebody would be like hitting my hand going, get out of here.
Don't touch that. We just keep inviting you back, though. You're just so awesome.
Who are you? Why are you here? You're in this room with me.
I hear that women all the time.
And I'm like, sorry, I don't know. Transporter malfunction.
Yeah.
My excuse for everything.
No, but like your father said, it's the timelessness of it, and it's you know, like you said, like Mozart and you know, Michelangelo paintings and stuff. Like, I do believe that something about Star Trek has that timeless quality to it, and if you give it the half minute, you know, to watch it and get into it, you know, for a few minutes, you'll understand what it's about.
And that Galileo 7's now in the museum. I mean, it'll probably stay there for a good long time. They just restored the Enterprise from the original Star Trek Enterprise for the Smithsonian. They actually sent bits and pieces of it to one of the colleges up here in Buffalo to have them help restore it.
Oh, yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, like, it's, you know, Buffalo, we're doing our part for Star Trek, at least a little bit.
Yep. Especially with this podcast.
With the Galileo. The Galileo had that long road ending up on the Intrepid Museum.
Yeah, and it's great that, you know, these things are being preserved and, like, you know, kept around. I know everything with Star Trek Discovery will be probably CGI, but it would be wonderful if they made actual models of this stuff just as, like, backups or something.
I just love that the Galileo was, like, in, like, somebody's front lawn. like a busted up car on, like, cinder blocks. That it was doing the same thing. Except it was a shuttlecraft from Star Trek.
The thing is, if it was in the South, you know, you might not bat an eye at it. There's
oh, that's the Galileo. Oh,
yeah. When I lived in Jackson, Mississippi, there was a house, couple houses from ours, and they had like all these cars all the time, like in various states of repair in their front yard, and you could see into their backyard even from their front a little bit. Cars everywhere. Apparently, these were meth dealers, and someone broke into my car and stole my CD player out of my car to sell it to them to get meth. But it was funny because we heard, you know, we found out they got busted for meth, and all the cars disappeared. But
I have a similar story. Just to throw out there is I used to live down in the city of Buffalo in Allentown, which is sort of like this is when I first got married, and we were in like it's sort of the hip area of the city to hang out. And we had an apartment there, and how you got to our apartment to park, there was a back alleyway. It was like literally cobblestone brick you drive down and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I would park, and I kept – it's the weirdest thing is I would park, and I would go to my apartment, and I wouldn't really pay attention. The one day I was sitting there in my car for some reason, and I was looking at the apartment in front of me, and there was something there that looked familiar, but I couldn't quite place what it was, and I looked at it, and I didn't really think about it, and I drove away. Next day, when I was in my car looking at the same thing, it was a square, and I finally looked at it really closely. It was Han Solo frozen in carbonite, a full-size, I don't know, replica? Like, tucked underneath somebody's stairs.
That's bizarre.
It was like it's like a back stairwell coming down, and it was just like someone just shoved it back there. And I was gonna I was like, I gotta steal that. I mean, it's like, why is it sitting there? You know? And I never actually stole it, but I just was like, I can't believe I've been staring at this for like probably 3-4 weeks, and I hadn't noticed.
Like, just make it your front door.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Anyways.
Oh, that's really cool. But yeah, thanks so much, Dad, for sitting there. That's awesome.
Yeah, very nice.
That was cool.
And thank you for your son. He's pretty great guy. 7 kids is a big task. I don't know how you do that, but that's to your credit. should we do another message?
Yeah, let's do another one.
I have a message from the Geekiverse, Pete Herr from The Grumpy Geek.
The Grumpy Geek.
He's very grumpy. And he wrote to us, and he says, I grew up with the crew of the Enterprise on their first run of syndication in the early 1970s. As a kid, I was certain that I would be able to apply for Starfleet. I'm a totally bitter that I'm now 52, and Starship Captain is not a job listed on my LinkedIn page. If President Trump starts building Starfleet tomorrow, by the time it's done, I'll have reached the Federation's mandatory retirement age. Not cool.
Oh man, it's great because it's one of the first things me and Pete talked about. I met him at the Buffalo Comic Con back in September of last year, and Robbie, who's been on the show before, introduced me to Josiah, and I was talking to them, and they were like, oh, well, Pete, he's our Star Trek guy. So I sat down and talked with him for a little bit, and he was like, you know, I'm just disappointed that I wish I was, you know, a Starfleet captain. He definitely wants to be that. I want to be that too. I'm sad that it's not a job description that's actually available.
Yeah, no doubt. I would have tried
way harder in school if that was true.
I literally wanted to be Kirk growing up. That's who I wanted to be. I modeled so much of myself after Kirk at a young age, but then I realized I probably wasn't going to be as awesome as Kirk, so I had to dial it back a little bit. So, you know, because it works great in TV, but
yeah,
not so great in real life. So, you know, you can't just kiss all the girls.
But Kirk definitely did.
You can't. I mean, you can, but it doesn't work out for you.
It just doesn't work out.
You say it's a transporter malfunction.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You start looking a little rapey, and people don't like that.
No. It goes over badly.
Yeah, it's and that's another thing is, like, you know, we all kind of thought, you know, with, you know, movies like 2001 and stuff like that, by this point we'd be out in space or there'd be something happening.
Yeah.
We all thought we were in that trajectory where we were going to be like...
Well, I guess just after the Apollo program, just general public lost interest. And when public lost interest in space, it's just kind of like...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, I don't know why the public's got interested in it for it to need to be a thing.
Well, because I think the moon was like such a high watermark. And then we're just like, okay, we're just going to do orbits around the planet. And it's like, well, okay, but didn't we do that already? Like, didn't we, you know... didn't John Glenn do that? I mean, like, why do we need to do more of that? I mean... I'm not diminishing everything that NASA's done and every other space agency's done, but it's like we thought we'd have moon bases by now, you know, and discovering the monolith on the moon. I mean, that's...
Oh, come on. We need that monolith, like, ASAP. You know.
Let's get going.
Where's our monolith?
Well, I mean, like, I think... But, I mean, like, I think the reason why we don't have moon bases is because the interest dropped off. And then the Apollo stopped, and then now there's no reason to...
I don't know if that was a public disinterest. I think that was more of a we realized that we were not going, like, the Russians weren't going to go any further than what we were doing.
I think Aaron's right. I think that what ended up happening was we didn't have impetus.
Yeah. Without the idea that if the Russians were building a base up there, we'd have a base up there now. You know, if that was their plan. But
that's silly. That we're only going to do it because someone else is doing it. We should be the first. We shouldn't be. The wait till someone else tries it, and we've got to beat them.
Right.
I'm like, let's just pioneer. Let's not, like, sit back and wait for other people to pioneer, then beat them to it. Let's just pioneer on our own, please.
I know it would be nice. And you know, you look back at all, even like, you know, earlier discoveries. You know, when they discovered the, you know, Americas, the Europeans came to America. You know, that was all financed by the governments. You know, it was Spain. You know, throwing Columbus money his way to, you know, finance his boats. And every other, you know, person that went out there, Magellan and all those other explorers, they were financed by the government. So it wasn't, you know, obviously it was...
I love the Animaniacs Magellan song.
But, I mean, let's face it, it probably was a little bit cheaper than, you know, trying to do a moonshot. So,
sure.
Which I did recently just watch.
I don't know.
You don't...
I mean, I think, relatively speaking, I think that Magellan's exploration, if you were to adjust it for $1969, I think you might find that they were pretty equivalent in cost.
It's possible. I don't...
Yeah.
I'm not an economist.
I mean, they had to be, you know, financed by the kings and queens of their era.
Oh, it was a lot of money. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I recently watched that Hidden Figures. You guys catch that at all?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorites now.
So,
I decided that's one of my favorite movies.
Wonderful movie, and to see it's obviously, it has to do with, you know, racism at the time, of the 1960s of the the original moonshot, not moonshot. Well, it deals with moonshot, but also sending men up in the up into
orbit. It was the Mercury.
Yeah, right.
It was mostly based around Mercury.
But what a great story, and it's all true. Obviously, I mean, they Hollywoodized it. You know, to make it
They Hollywoodized it a little, but it wasn't that Hollywood.
No, yeah. It wasn't like silly Hollywood style. But like they show the pictures of it, and my wife was like, "Oh, so they're not as attractive as those ladies." And it's like, "Well, yeah, of course, you know." And I'm sure the head of NASA wasn't Kevin Costner looking either. So,
just like Game of Thrones. In the books, he describes all the characters, and almost all the characters in Game of Thrones are described like they're really, really ugly.
Yeah.
Even like Brienne of Tarth, who's like one of the ugliest people in the books. Like, you know, Gwendolyn Christie's not a bad looking lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that, I mean, you know, and of course with Hidden Figures, we were really talking about some of the most amazing things, which were the computers.
Humans.
Which were the people who did math.
Yeah.
And they did. They were just these phenomenal geniuses who could just look at these problems and just know the answer. And it was amazing, you know? So they were amazing people.
What's more amazing is that there were people out there, and I believe there still are, obviously, but there are people out there that could just do math in their head to that extent and figure out through these problems without using really much of they didn't even have, like, they had probably simple calculators, but nothing like we have today.
Yeah, nothing like a scientific graphing calculator with, like, trigonometry built into it.
Right, right.
Well, yeah, I mean, they didn't even have simple calculators back then. They literally did all of this by hand.
Yeah.
Abacus!
They had slide rules.
Yeah, but I mean,
one of my favorite scenes is in Apollo 13, with where they're coming back, and you see Tom Hanks up there writing all of the math on the piece of paper, and he's like, "I'm getting punchy. You got to check me." And it cuts back to NASA, and they're hauling out the slide rules, and all of them are writing out the math.
Yeah,
and they're checking him, you know, and that's the way it was back then.
Yeah, but it's incredible that that's a thing, and like I wonder if, like, our society has lost something, you know, that we are – everything's so accessible.
Maybe. I know that, you know, that's one of my dad's favorite quotes that he likes to say is, you know, when the first computers came out, he's like, I can add 2 and 2 faster than me. So what? I mean, how's that going to change the world?
Nah.
So, I mean, you know, that's true. But, you know, the thing about the advances in society, in my opinion, is that it frees us up to do more.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we don't have to go out and churn butter. We can just, you know, go pick it up at a store now. I mean, imagine how difficult it is to churn butter. I don't even want to think about it.
Right.
You know?
Well, or
it makes me exhausted thinking about it.
When I mean, every time I get an update for Manga Studio, the program that I use for making comics, it cuts. I just found a thing that Manga Studio does that cuts 15 minutes out of creating an episode of Tamerlan. I mean, that's a big deal. Yeah. Every one of those means that I can do a little bit more.
Right. You know? Yeah, no, it's great. And, I mean, yeah, I do agree that obviously
teach Aaron your tricks. He's got Manga Studio now.
I know, I do.
Yeah, we'll be sitting and talking, I guess. I can tell already. We'll be just sitting and chatting about this.
All day long. Get ready.
Yeah.
But it's more of the thing that it was and I'm not disagreeing with anything you said there, Guy. It's just that I do wonder if we've lost something. It's like there's people that would walk around that would have quotes in their heads from their favorite literature or their favorite, you know, poems or something to that nature. And now I don't know if people do that anymore.
We quote Monty Python now.
I know.
It turned me into a newt.
Yeah.
And maybe I got better. And maybe it's a matter of, you know, it's and you think about what are the quotes. I mean, what quotes would you be thinking about? You know, and maybe it's Monty Python's what we're thinking about.
Well, you know, I mean, you think about, like, you know, Shakespeare or things to that nature, or, you know, Lord Byron or something to that nature. But, I mean, it's like it doesn't matter. It's just that, you know, like there was a time when I would, you know, memorize quotes or poems of some nature, and I've seemed to evolve getting kind of smooshed out of my head. I mean, I can quote Hamlet, but that's about it.
In this scene, it doth befall that I, once snapped by name, do present the wall, and such walls have you think would have it a crannied hole or chink through which lovers Pyramus and Thisbe did often sometimes whisper. I played the wall in the Shakespeare play.
Nice, nice.
I pulled that out from college, guys.
Nice. Oh, yeah. But anyways, yeah, I mean, very nice, Dave, but I mean, that's the things I wonder about the human condition. But whatever, we're getting off topic very far.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I mean, it's sort of off topic, but it is kind of on the same sort of concept, you know?
We want Starfleet. We want it now. Thank you, Pete, for sitting in. And maybe if Trump initiates it, he won't have a minimum age for retirement.
Yeah.
So you can always hope or just lie.
I'm reading a book called Old Man's War right now. It's a science fiction novel where when you're 7 years old, you apply for the Colonial Defense, and they basically take you up to their ship, and they basically revitalize you to a young person.
Yeah,
and you go to fight in their wars.
Yes.
So
it's Marine a great Pete.
Well, that's the payment.
Yeah,
that's the payment for revitalizing. You can die.
Yeah,
or we'll revitalize you, and then you become a soldier. And then once your time is served, your time is served.
Yeah,
I love Old Man's War.
Yeah, yeah, it's an interesting story. I mean, that they would actually, that somebody came up with it instead of going to retirement. You go to war, so
giggity. Interesting.
There's a little giggities in there, too.
Yeah. All right. You want to go play the next one?
It's great.
Yeah. It's a good story. All right. Let's do our next one.
I have a multiple choice question to ask the audience today. 100. Why is it significant to the Synthaholics duo? A. Is it the number of times that Dave has fantasized about Jin and Cassian? B. Is it the amount of dick jokes Aaron works on to every episode? Or C, is it the upcoming 100th episode for the Synthaholics? I know it's a shocker, but if you guess C, you guess correct. What's up, everybody? This is Josiah Leroy from the Geekiverse, and I'm wishing Dave and Aaron another amazing 100 episodes after the first awesome 100 that they've had. Thanks for always being a part of it with us, and we really appreciate what you guys do. So, from our family to yours, live long and prosper.
Thank you so much, Josiah, for sending that in. I love multiple choice. It makes things so much simpler.
I love dick jokes.
And Guy loves fantasizing about Cassian and Jen.
You know, I think he was headed for you on that one. But that's
yeah,
right.
I know. But I said something. Aaron said something. I needed to include you, so I just gave you mine.
Right. Yeah, Josiah from the Geekiverse, I'm sure if you've listened to us enough that you know that Josiah's been on, what, 3 episodes now?
Yeah, 3. Yeah, yeah. Two of the Star Wars episode 2 and episode 3 and Trek Noobs. He was our Trek Noob.
Trek Noobs. And then we also have done a couple episodes of we haven't quite officially named it, but we're like doing a little.
We're doing a collaboration podcast that'll be shared throughout several different podcasts, so we'll keep you posted when that's
right.
Available.
But yeah, so thank you, Josiah. Yeah, 100 episodes. Obviously I mean, when we started this, I don't think
we didn't like plan. I mean, anything. We pretty much go week to week, and it's like, really, are we at 100 now?
Yeah, I mean,
it literally snuck up on us because we don't.
We plan a little bit.
I mean, like
we plan out the month, kind of.
Sometimes we have a whole month planned ahead of time.
Like this month, we sort of have it sort of figured out.
Yeah, but a lot of times we pretty much go by the seat of our pants.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Like,
what do you want to do this week? I don't know.
I don't know. That's the day before. What do you want to do?
Hey, Dave, what's that episode where and I'll describe it and you go, oh, you're talking about that one. Okay, yeah, let's do that one.
And then I think that's part of the problem why you don't always hear Guy, because like Aaron and I are still trying to figure out what's happening like the day before we record, and then it's like, hey, Guy, can you do this? It's like, it's just really bad with that. I'm so sorry, Guy. We're so,
washing my
so
cat.
Uncoordinated.
I'm washing my cat. But, the funny thing is, too, is that our schedules have been jumped around in the last couple years here.
Well,
so.
Coming up in February, Year of Hell, that'll be the anniversary of Year of Hell. We're having Pete Herr, who you just read.
Yeah, Grumpy Geek, we're
having him
there.
Back to talk about Year of Hell.
But, yeah, but we our schedules have changed quite a bit, so it's hard to get Guy on the same time as we used to. So
yeah.
And Guy is obviously in a different time zone, so It's all messed up.
Yeah, my availability is next to nil with working from 6 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. Monday through Friday, guys.
Yeah, yeah. It's don't bother him.
Yeah.
No, I love getting messages. I'm bored at work sometimes.
No, but yeah, so yeah, thanks, Josiah. Josiah's been great. And
that was really nice.
And he's one of these guys that is passionate about all sorts of geek. You know, he's into video games. He's into
Star Wars
and yep. movies. And
we're molding him into a Star Trek fan slowly.
Slowly, we're converting him. You know, we're insidious that way.
Darth Sidious that way.
Yeah, Darth Sidious.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was Darth Sidious that way. But yeah, he's the head of the CEO of the Geekiverse, and we've been working with them a lot since Buffalo Comic Con. I appeared on two of their videos they put out. So check out their YouTube channel. We'll have a link to that in the description, I'm sure.
Yeah,
and check out their videos. I was on two of them, one talking to the Grumpy Geek about Star Trek Discovery and another one talking about just since Trump thinks big, what do we want? And of course, I wanted the Enterprise.
Sure. Why not? Why not? Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? Everybody wants the Enterprise.
If that was true, we'd have one. I wish everyone wanted the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess you're right.
Yeah. Got to invent those warp fields. Cool. So should we do a email?
Yes. We have an email from Don Jackson, How I Met Lieutenant Uhura.
Ooh, this sounds erotic.
Yeah, this is going to be an erotic fan novel. prepare to be disappointed.
Oh, damn it.
No. In 2015, I got a table at the Rochester Comic Con where actress Nichelle Nichols was one of the featured guests. Artist Alley was positioned on the way there, so when she was sitting, I knew I'd be able to see her from where I sold my prints and drew caricatures. I admit I was too shy to actually talk to her. I was pretty starstruck. As a child, I was like everyone in grammar school, a faithful watcher of Star Trek. Man, you had an awesome grammar school.
Yeah.
I had a tremendous crush on Lieutenant Uhura with her eloquent manner and femininity and very short red dress. I'm adding the very short red dress part because I'm definitely a fan of
the short red dress. Well.
Short, yeah, red
the
dresses. Short red dresses. Gotcha.
Yes. Sorry. I'm butchering your email. I'm sorry. I'll never forget the interracial kiss between her and Captain Kirk. Though at a young age, I didn't realize the magnitude of the scene on television in its day. I was thunderstruck by my puppy love for her. On the second day of the con, I was arriving early with many other vendors, and I was lugging an awkward heavy load of portfolios, prints, and art supplies. Several of us rushed to the elevator when I noticed a white-haired lady being escorted by in a wheelchair. Her escort spun around her to face the doorway, and as I was next in line to get on the elevator, that instant I felt a great rush. It was my African goddess, my Enterprise crush. I was caught in that rear field air, where time slows down and the mind records every sense on 10. I locked eyes with Lieutenant Uhura. At that moment, she recognized that I was bearing a heavy load, and seeing that there was not enough space in the elevator, she gave me a look and a hand gesture as if to say, "I'm sorry, maybe you can squeeze in." At the elevator doors began to close, I was completely cheeseballed, and I said, "Beam her up, Scotty. That's what I was thinking." I actually had a smile on my face, and I made her smile, too. Captain's Log, 2015 Rochester Con. Met a beautiful human being, someone who made a great contribution to civil rights for her role in Star Trek. Made her smile. Mission complete.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, so Don Jackson.
That's a great story.
Yeah, that's a great story. Don Jackson.
I'm so sorry I messed it up.
Yeah, come on. He's a wonderful artist, and I met him obviously a lot of the Buffalo Comic Cons, and we're part of the Visions Art Group here in Buffalo for comic book artists.
I sat right next to him at the Buffalo Comic Con 2015.
Yeah, 2015 we sat together. He's always working on art. He's doing his own comic book right now. I'm blanking on the title. I don't know if he told me yet. He's done quite a bit of work, and I've done some. We were part of a gallery showing at one point too as well, and his artwork is just stellar, unbelievable. He's got a beautiful style. It's totally unique. It's not like anybody else's. It's a little bit of everything. It's a harken back to an older comic book style, but then also he kind of brings in his own flair. So it's
yeah.
It's
I follow him on Facebook, and he's got some beautiful art that he posts every now and then. And he actually recognized me because we met at the 2015 Buffalo Comic Con. Sure. He recognized me at the 2016. He waved me down, and he actually just gave me a print that he drew of like three captains. It was like Kirk, I think, and Picard, and I think the other Kirk.
Okay.
So,
cool.
So it was really cool getting to see this. He drew it, and he's like, he just gave it to me for free, and just like, oh, thank you for all that you do. I was really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Don.
It's awesome. And he did. He gave me a print actually of Aquaman, one of my favorite characters. So that's something he did himself. So it's really nice of him. And he does. He teaches. He teaches a class. I know he does figure drawing classes and a whole bunch of other stuff. And he's a wonderful person. So very, very nice. And thank you so much for that email. That's wonderful that you got a chance to meet Uhura and or Nichelle Nichols.
Oh, that's so awesome. That she was at the Rochester Comic Con. That's really awesome. And she got to lock eyes with her. And she was like, oh, I wish you could squeeze in. I see you're carrying a lot of stuff. You know, that's really nice of her. And, you know, he's got a couple of Facebook places you can follow him at. His facebook.com/DonaldJacksonArtMusic, all one word because it's, you know, URL, and facebook.com/RoguePlanetRock.
Yeah, and we'll post those on our show notes as well for everybody. So so everyone can see what he's got. But yeah, so very cool, and just to meet a living legend. I mean, besides, I don't know if I've met anybody. I know. Guy, you've met a ton of people, haven't you?
But you are not worthy. I mean, I've just met everybody. I'm awesome.
Well, no, you do get around. That's what I've heard.
I get around.
Get around, round, round. I get around. I get around. No, sorry.
Nichelle's such a wonderful person. She is the one person that I've met really closely because
really?
I guess it would have been 91 or 2001. 2002, probably 2002. She was here in Denver at Mile High Con, and I was on her security detail because I worked for the convention at the time.
Did you wear a red shirt?
Yeah, I wore a red shirt.
Just for her.
I mean, my job was just to stay near her, but the convention is such a quiet, laid-back convention that nobody messed with her. You know, it was just like nobody. And, you know, so she just wandered around the dealer's room and everything like that. And I just stayed with her the entire time, and we just doodled around. And it was great. And then at the very end of the weekend, I'd been with her the whole time, and I was taking her back to her room. And she was like, well, thank you for doing that and staying with me the entire time. I'm like, really, it wasn't that hard because the convention's really quiet and has like 300 people. And then she kissed me on the cheek. It was very sweet.
What?
Yeah, totally. I'm actually not even joking.
You just made everyone listening jealous.
Gave me a boner.
Poor Don. You're stealing his African goddess.
Oh, my God. You got a kiss from Uhura.
That's amazing.
Yeah, my cheek. Right here. I haven't washed it since.
Did you get a fan dance?
No. That would be nice.
But yeah, that's my Uhura story. She's such a sweet person. I mean, every time I hear anything about her, she's such a it's like she never has a bad day. You know what I mean? She's just perpetually upbeat, and she's subdued. I mean, she's not like gregarious or anything like that, but she is like really sweet all the time.
That's wonderful.
She's such a good person.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I haven't really met too many people. I mean, other than
we talked to Walter Koenig.
Walter Koenig for briefly, but I mean, it wasn't really like we didn't. You know,
we kind of had to stay on topic about Captain Pike because
that's what we were talking about.
We were being monitored by Captain Pike.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I never really had a chance to talk to anybody else besides that. So it's my own fault. You know, I never really put myself out there. I remember we had, we used to have cons that came here, Star Trek cons into Buffalo area back in the 90s. So Will Wheaton came and, Troy, what's her name?
Marina Sirtis.
Thank you. Marina Sirtis. They both came. And I saw them both speak, but I didn't go out and meet them. I was too shy. I kind of felt like, oh, they don't want to talk to me. I was whatever. I was 17 years old, 18 years old. I was like, oh, they wouldn't want to talk to me.
I really hope that Nickel City Con's got William Shatner. I hope they get a couple other Star Trek actors, crossing my fingers, hoping. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see some more Star Trek people.
You should go in there and see if you can't get interviews with them. I mean, we do with Geek Tank.
I reached out to Shatner, his people. I have not heard back from him yet, so...
No. I mean, talk to the media teams at the conventions.
Yeah, that's a good idea. See if I can get...
Yeah, see if the... Because I don't know about you guys, I mean, obviously, but a couple of the Denver cons here will... They've got a room set aside for interviews and stuff like that, and they'll let media teams in.
That's cool.
See if so that's out. I mean, short of the I've met Nichelle Nichols and I've met Mari Ijima, who is Min Mei from Robotech.
Awesome.
But short of stories like that, but that's from working cons. I've worked a lot of cons. I've been working cons since the 90s. But short of that, most of the time the people I've met have been because we've gone in as Geek Tank. You know,
that's awesome.
That's great. That's cool.
So you guys could totally do the media creds.
The only problem is we don't really get very big guests here in Buffalo. William Shatner's probably the biggest guest at a con here
for a while
locally that I
for a I've while. Heard of. It's been a while.
Oh sure.
Yeah.
But you know,
I mean, Rochester's an hour out, so I mean, I guess we could have gone to Rochester, but I mean, we got to pay more attention.
It's one of those things. From my point of view, I've never been to New York ever in my life. So obviously Manhattan's just down the street from you guys in my world.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I can't even comprehend it.
It's like an all day drive.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm out here in Denver where, you know, the next closest city is like, you know, 2 hours away, 3 hours away or whatever. And it's an hour to Colorado Springs and it's another, you know, however long anything.
So New York is like 8 Colorado Springs away from us, for your perspective.
Yeah.
But a quick flight over to New York, you can get there pretty quickly for pretty cheap prices too. You know.
Yeah. But then the hotels are just like, you know.
Yeah, the hotels are
more than
story.
My rent.
Yeah, the hotels are a different story, but. Yeah, so awesome.
So if there are any Synthaholics listeners that live in the, you know, Manhattan area.
That don't mind a sleepover party.
For the night.
Yeah. Don't mind our revelries.
Give us a ring.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that. That was a great, great story. I love that story that you got a chance to.
Lock eyes.
Lock eyes. Eye locking.
I love locking eyes.
Very good. And then I think we get one last audio clip.
Yeah, I want to do another audio clip. Okay.
Hi, my name is Joshua Duncan, and I would like to share with you a Star Trek thought. Ever notice in the original series episode, Journey to Babel, where Kirk is fighting the Andorian assassin, he does this move where he kicks himself off the wall and hits the Andorian in the face with his ass. I had to rewind this about 6 or 7 times before I was finally able to believe what my eyes were telling me. But it's there. So if you haven't noticed this before, go treat yourself.
Thanks, Josh, for sending in that amazing piece of enlightenment.
Yeah.
He had to watch it 6 or 7 times.
It's
awesome.
You've heard of the Picard maneuver and the Riker maneuver.
This is the flying butt pliers.
Butt plier maneuver from Kirk. It's the ladies love it. They can't get enough.
It's wonderful.
This is how he flirts with the Andorian.
Actually, yeah. Journey to Babel is a wonderful episode. It's so many layers onto it, and that is
technically he was an Orion.
Oh yeah, right. Technically
he was. Yes.
Although he looks
actually he was an Orion. He was just a disguise.
Disguise as an Andorian. That's the one.
They do that a lot in Star Trek.
Well, you can just. You know, change the way you look, and everyone just accepts that's what you are, you know?
When so Miles dumb. O'Brien gets turned into a Klingon.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like the ugliest Klingon ever.
Well, hell, he had a whole... Yeah, I mean, he had a whole episode where they all infiltrate the Klingon Empire in DS9.
Sisko looked like a badass Klingon, but O'Brien was like probably the worst Klingon I've ever seen.
The worst looking Klingon I've ever seen.
It's like a Scottish Klingon. Like, it's so weird. Or Irish Klingon. It's just so
Irish
weird.
Klingon.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, Kirk's fighting styles is obviously renowned for its acrobatics.
Complexity. It's a butt-foo.
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 I do wonder where that all came from. I don't know if there was like I'm sure they didn't have like a choreographers that get into
they
it.
They just like William Shatner fight this guy. Yeah. From the mind of William Shatner, the flying butt punch.
Well, and you know, obviously a lot of them they had stunt doubles,
which a lot of times, especially if you watch it on Netflix in its high definition,
you can see it
night and day. Especially the Kirk and Khan fight. Yeah, oh my gosh, it's so bad.
Very much so. You can.
So it's hilarious.
To have the high def. They weren't expecting that.
No, they didn't see that coming for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do wonder if that was something like all Shatner, or was that something like somebody was like, well, why don't you give him like a two-handed fist karate chop, you know?
It's so weird. Like, you're actually going to hurt yourself way more doing a two-handed fist punch.
Yeah, like you would like...
Your fingers are going to break, like snap.
He would hit him like on the small of the back and then right behind the neck with both his hands. Like, why would that... If you do with both hands clasped together, why would it do more damage?
Because they're thinking like it's a club.
Yeah.
But realistically, you'd probably break your fingers doing that.
I just don't think you would. I don't think you'd hit as powerfully as enough, you know? And not as fast, too. Like, they make it seem like it's fast, but
they make it seem like a power punch.
Like, bam, bam.
Because you got twice the weight behind it because you got two hands.
Right.
No. I guess, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
And maybe that is one part or aspect of the original series that is dated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's...
That doesn't really survive as well.
It's hilarious, though.
Hey, but the flying butt punch, that'll live on forever.
Yeah.
Because who else has done that?
Flying butt punch was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I do love a flying butt into...
I mean, Chun-Li's, spinning bird kick's still a thing, so, I mean, Kirk's flying butt punch. Maybe someone will reenact it in Star Trek Discovery. We can only hope... Maybe we'll show them like in like the karate school for butt foo, and they're like, this is how you do the this
right.
maneuver,
right?
And then you can see where Kirk learned it from, like the whoever invented that attack. That would be awesome. Star Trek Discovery, yeah. You can take that idea for free. It's cool.
Yeah, just steal it right from us because I know you're listening.
Because that's what they do.
Yeah, they're scouring the internet for ideas. Anything, please. Kirk's fighting style is always unusual. Obviously Spock just had the Vulcan nerve pinch, didn't do much of anything else. I don't really recall McCoy really getting too many fisticuffs.
McCoy just would hypospray someone to sleep.
Yeah.
If he had to do anything, he would just use drugs.
Yeah. Scotty got in the bar fight and trouble with Tribbles.
Yeah, yeah.
And, maybe a few other punches here and there, but Kirk was obviously the big fighter. So,
yes, but he was equally as big a lover.
Oh, yes, he
so
was.
So he had to, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
He's a very physical man.
That he was. And speaking of physical man, we want to both sit on his lap when he comes to
Nickel City. When he comes to Nickel City, we're going to sit.
It's like Santa Claus. It's like, oh, my God.
I'm sure he'll do the flying butt players on me, too, in his 80s.
That would be amazing. I need to have my camera on video camera for that. That'd be amazing.
Just watch that. Yeah.
We'll
put that on our YouTube channel if it happens.
Absolutely.
It'll be a GIF that just plays over and over and over.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
As his butt cheeks surround my head and crushes it like Khan crushed Admiral Marcus's head.
Yeah.
So
it's amazing.
All right. So I have a tweet too. This is from the Big Nerdy Questions podcast. And they responded. They said, Star Trek inspired me to approach life with critical thinking and compassion for everyone, even if we never met. And that's from Josh from the Big Nerdy Questions podcast. So, yeah, I mean, I don't...
That's pretty cool.
I don't know anybody who seriously watches Star Trek and doesn't walk away with their ethics and morality slightly changed.
Or at least thought about, at the very least.
Yeah. Most people I know that are Star Trek fans are usually pretty decent people deep down. You know, they might be, you know, one way or the other, but they, you know, deep down they hold those values almost the same. So I don't know.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for tweeting us. Another podcast listens to us. People know we exist.
There's people out there.
We live out there.
We live out in cyberspace for everyone to hear. Yeah, and I don't know. I had this in-depth conversation with a couple people, and we were talking about the different. I wonder if our geekdom and our nerdiness. I don't know if it's the humility that we had growing up, or if it was the just the ethics that were taught to us through all our stories. If it was comic books, or if it was science fiction, that we we have to be better people towards each other because these are the reasons, blah 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 blah. I wonder if that somehow just affects our deep down psyche and everything we do in daily life. So I don't know. Something I wonder.
That's one of the things that's great about Star Trek. It's always trying to, usually, at least in the original series, especially, it's always trying to teach something and, say, this is good, this is not good.
Right.
Some people were like, oh, Star Trek versus Star Wars. Star Trek is, Star Wars is better because it's more action and stuff like that. Well, Star Wars is its own thing. Star Wars is the hero's tale. It's Joseph Campbell. Yeah. To the nth degree.
Yeah, 12-step hero journey.
This is what Star Wars is. Star Trek is Aesop's Fables in space. Trying to tell you something. It's trying to tell you something important. There may be action some episodes. There may be not action some episodes. But it's trying to tell you something.
Right.
Usually, right. That's what Star Trek is.
Yeah.
And we have one last email from Shannon Stickle. Congratulations on your 100th episode. I love listening to you guys. You're a lot of fun. I find myself responding to the podcast as it goes along very often. I look forward to hearing many more episodes. Keep up the good work. LLAP, Shannon Stickle. Thank you so much, Shannon, emailing us. It's always great to hear from people. Listen, she and I have been friends on Facebook for almost 2 years, almost as long as we've been on the doing the show. So
that's awesome, and it's nice to know, like I said again, that what you're throwing out there into the universe is actually affecting people in a positive way, and that they can enjoy it.
Yeah, most definitely, and then that's why we're here. We want people. I mean, we're here to have fun, but we're also the secondary thing is that we hope people enjoy what we do and can get a laugh out of it hear about their favorite thing from, our perspective, and just a bunch of guys sitting around a table drinking, or a guy pretending to drink.
Yeah.
I'm pretending right now. Even as we speak.
He wishes he had a drink in his hand.
There are times.
When he's dealing with us.
There's not enough alcohol in the world.
Of course. To be fair, it's par for the course.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's cool. We got 100 episodes under our belt. Who knows how long we'll go to 200, 300. I don't know. I can't even imagine.
There's 700-something episodes of Star Trek.
I can't even imagine.
That's true. If we did one Synthaholics for every episode of Star Trek, we'd have 726 episodes.
Yeah.
That's not including Discovery.
Yeah,
we don't even know how many episodes we'll have.
Yeah.
Who knows? Probably like 100. Okay. Probably like 100. Because it's going to be a short series, or it'll be less than 100, but like 70, probably between 70 and 80 if it goes 7 seasons.
Yeah, because if it goes 7 seasons, then that would be 10 episodes a season.
Yeah.
Wow.
That'd be ironic because it would have almost as many as the original series.
I know, right?
That'd be so wild.
But I bet you
7 years and the same as this original series.
Yeah, but I bet you they'll have more of a congruent storyline, because obviously the original series was all
episode to episode,
and that obviously the effects and everything are going to be a lot more robust.
Sure. Yeah, I can't wait to see what's going on with Discovery. I can't wait to see what we're going to do in our next 100 episodes. It's just amazing, and thank you everyone who listens to the show for listening. I mean, it's huge that you guys are there and keep listening to little old us. And
thank you for listening,
and for everyone who contributed. Thank you so much, because we really wanted this episode to be about you guys, for you guys to reach out to us, and we could read your stuff or actually have your voice played to the audience, and then we could respond to it in the way the way we usually respond to things,
like a bunch of dumbasses.
Yes, I was trying to be diplomatic.
I think the word you're looking for is irreverent.
Yes.
Yes.
Pretty much.
I was trying to be irreverent. But yes, very, very much so. So, again, thank you, everyone. It's been a pleasure. It's been a blast being here for these 100 episodes.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And we're approaching our third season.
Crazy.
Nice.
Our third year's coming up.
Thanks for having me on board too.
Yeah, and this is wrapping up the first year for Guy Davis.
Yeah,
yeah.
Starting our second year with Guy Davis coming up soon. So this will be fun.
Poor guy.
It's a lot of fun. You guys are a lot of fun. You're a great podcast. So I mean, it's not, you know. I mean, the duct tape chafes a little, but but you know, we're good. We're good.
Stockholm syndrome is set in. Yes.
Stockholm syndrome is setting in.
Very good.
Nice.
Well, you can find all our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo. Me personally, David_J_Duncan.
I'm at Blackbird2004.
Guy. And I'm at GS Davis Art and USS Tamlin.
If you want to follow the Facebook discussion, you can find us at facebook.com/group/Synthaholics. You can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. Give us stars, ratings, and reviews. We need these to be seen in the charts so more people can find the show. Because some people just look for Star Trek or look for other stuff. And if we don't have new stars and new ratings and new reviews, we don't get the, you know, where people are, we're not easily seen by new people looking for Star Trek. So please send those in, click on them. I know sometimes it's a pain in the butt to do reviews on iTunes. I've done a couple. I'm like, why is this such a difficult process? But it's annoying sometimes. But please, if you could, take a couple minutes out of your day and give us some stars and give us some ratings. It would help us out immensely.
Absolutely. And, you know,
and it's typing in your credit card numbers faster.
Yeah. Well, just on top of that thought, too, is if you have any friends or anybody you might know that might enjoy our episodes or our show, you know, obviously let them know. Word of mouth is wonderful. You can tweet us, share episodes on Facebook or any other platforms you're using.
Oh, I love it when I see other people share my stuff. I just feel all fuzzy inside. I'm like, yeah, someone shared this. Someone liked it enough to share it. It really means the world to us when we get comments. I try to respond to them as often as possible. When I share them out. So thank you so much when you share and like our stuff on Facebook and on, you know, iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, wherever we are. We really appreciate it. And like I was saying before, if you're typing your credit cards quicker, we do have a Patreon. So if you want to support us in that way, we have some rewards where we try to do different things for you guys, depending on which tier you set up. So, you can check that out at patreon.com/Synthaholics. And if you want to support Guy and his art with the USS Tamerlan and Witches of Flame, you can check him out at patreon.com/GSDavisArt.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you again all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, my friends.
Over, I'll puke in the sink and we'll cry till we laugh and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
100. And we were worried it was taking it. Hey, we wouldn't get an hour out of that.
What do we get? Is that over an hour?
It's an hour and 33 minutes.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I was going to say, I figured that was more than an hour.
For, oh, gosh.
100 episodes.
In the first edit.
Cutting that out.